Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 27, 2017, or it is Elusive 2021. We bestowed our first service on this first day of the week with a song entitled, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, turn my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise a mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by Thy help I'm come, and I hope by Thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Joshua sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of Yah. He could rescue me from danger, interposed His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy grace, Yah, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Yah, I feel it. Prone to leave the Yah alone. Is my heart, Yah, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. Part 11, Noah's flood. Alright, it says, on page, 253 of the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2 by V.T. Harder. We're going to continue on. Let's turn to Psalms 119, verse 105 and 106 for our memory verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Okay. Let's now go to where we left off from our last study, and let's do a little review to lead into today's service. It says that since the two sections of the flood, 7 times 7 equals 49, and 10 times 40 equals 400 days, bring us to the end of the world. Then the third section, now he's talking about this chart he's made that he's got drawn. And you have to have the chart in front of you to see what he's talking about. But the 110 days, while the water kept their elevation 15 cubits upward, or from the time the rain ceased to when the rain abated, was 110 days. But they just stood still, didn't go down one inch or anything. It says, must be applied to the millennium. It also being universal, we are again obliged to multiply number 10 with the type 110 times 10 equals 1100. The millennium being 1,000 years long, and 100 years on the other side of it, after the resurrection of the wicked, unto their final destruction, see the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 164. We read now the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 164. It says, For the Yahweh Elohim shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name. That'll be found in Isaiah, no doubt, 65. He doesn't have it mentioned here. This verse has been previously explained in connection with the 62nd chapter of Isaiah, page 155. The class mentioned here is the same as volume 5, page 82. The call to this great and solemn work was presented to men of the learning and position. Had these been little in their own eyes and trusted fully in the Yahweh, he would have honored them with the bearing his standard and triumphed unto the victory. But they separated from Yahweh, yielded to the influence of the world, and Yahweh rejected them. Well, we know that Yahshua came to the threshold of the house at Corona, Texas, 2002 at the Passover, and we know that he examined the congregation there at Gilead Center, and he started to investigate his judgment of Ezekiel 9. Started investigating everyone there at the Passover. And that investigation went on for until Atonement of 2002, which is about 5 or 6 months apart. And he found that the leadership he had to reject. And then those that stayed with the leadership and didn't follow the instruction of how to get their sins blotted out on the Day of Atonement 2002, so they were rejected as well. But he rejected the leadership by Atonement time. He started examining them at Passover, and by the time of the Atonement, he had to reject them. Yeshua couldn't represent their sins because they had committed the unpardonable sin. Brother Johnson committed the unpardonable sin when he rejected that message I gave him July the 14th, 2002, the message straight from heaven. He rejected that and refused to comply with any of it, to enforce it, and so therefore he sinned against the Holy Spirit. And that's the unpardonable sin. So they had no hope. And Brother Johnson rejected that message from heaven that I gave him on 2002, July the 14th. And he and his wife, Bo, she initiated the conversation that brought the message from heaven. So Brother Johnson and his wife both committed the unpardonable sin. So that's the reason why Brother Johnson was being punished and losing all of his blessings. That's what he was asking. Why are we losing all of our blessings? What is your opinion? And I told him I didn't have an opinion, but I had a message from heaven. Told him to tell him why. That should have been good enough. And if they had repented right then and there and accepted that message, they wouldn't have committed the unpardonable sin. And that's the reason why Yahweh had to bring Gilead Center to a close, because his leadership had committed the unpardonable sin. And Ben Roden, he brought the rod period to an end in 1970, had himself crowned King David, which was false, and so he committed the unpardonable sin. He committed the unpardonable sin, him and his wife both. And so after 1970, they both went off into total confusion. His wife went into the female Holy Spirit and set up her own a new religion and everything, Lois Roden, in 1973. And then Ben Roden, he didn't have anything else to do, but he endorsed it. He said, well, I guess I just have to endorse that and accept the female Holy Spirit and support my wife now. Well, because they had committed the unpardonable sin. They were on their own from that on. They had no inspiration. So I haven't seen this before. But when a prophet is cut off, because see, the time period was up for the rod in 1970, a 40-year time period, but it didn't have to be up for the one that brought it to his close. The time period didn't have to be up for them. They could have come right on in to the next step, next movement. The Rhodes were given an opportunity in 1971 by Brother Johnson to come on in and join him and be a way chief of him. But they couldn't do it because they were at our meeting at the Passover, but they couldn't do it because they'd committed the unpardonable sin in 1970. So there's no way that they could ever join the next movement under the new leader, because the Spirit wasn't there. The Spirit wasn't working with it because it had been withdrawn from them completely. So there was no way that they were going to do it. Okay? Verse 16. I don't know what... Verse 16? That would be in Isaiah 65, yeah. So let's go back. Let's back up and read page 163 of Shepherd Rod, Volume 1. But we're dealing with Isaiah 65 here. He says, quoting Isaiah 65:12, "Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter." Well, this is talking about Ezekiel 9, slaughter. Now, who is he talking to here? He's talking to Gilead sinners directly, because the Rodan had already bowed down to the sword. They'd already been taken care of, and by 1993, there was no sign of the existence of the Ben Rodan and what he called the branch, the Davidian branch. There was no more sign of them because they were burnt to the ground by the government. They were completely destroyed. "Therefore, will I number you to the sword?" He's talking about the angel of the candlestick of lettuce. When he says you, he's talking about, he can talk about one, or he can talk about many. "And ye shall all, talking about many, bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not." So when did Yahshua give Brother Johnson another call? When he was completely demonstrated down to the ground. I mean, he had a broken hip. He was walking with a cane. And then after he rejected that message, July the 14th, 2002, Brother Johnson fell again later on after it was all over and broke the other hip. So it shows out there that Yahweh had withdrawn his blessing from the man. "When I called," he said, July the 14th, 2002, "you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear." He was speaking through me when I gave him that message from heaven. "You didn't hear it. But you did evil before mine eyes and did choose that wherein I delighted not." So what you did after he was given that message, everything you did then, I did not delight in it. Verse 13 and 14. "Show Yahweh's care over his people and the suffering of the other class." Verse 15, Isaiah 65. "And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Yahweh Elohim shall slay thee and call his servants by another name." And this is the only time that the Davidians got a change of name from 1930 on. They received their name, Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, in 1930 with Vicki Hodder starting the Rod period. And starting the Rod period, and they continued on with that identity, Davidian, except added a new name to the branch Davidians in 1970 in Berlith, but it was called Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. And then it was called Branch Davidian. I put the name to that myself, because that's truly what it needed. It needed to have that added branch, Because Rudolph Johnson's message, 1970, was the Isaac Branch message. Okay. And the Shepherd Rod's message was, hear ye the rod and who hath appointed? In Micah 6:9, I believe. Micah 6:9. And 7:14. So, that name did not change until Yahshua come and cut his servants off that was going by that name of Davidian. Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. Anytime you use that word Davidian, you got to put that last part on there. Seventh-day Adventist, because that's in essence all they were. They never advanced past the three angels' messages. We didn't advance past there. By 2002, when the branch was over with, about the branch Davidian, and so Yahshua cut the branch Davidians off before their time was up. In 2010, and in a 40-year period for the branch, he cut it off and changed servants and gave his new servants a new name. He gave them the name Yahshua, our righteousness. And they also received a new name. More than just one new name. They became the true branch, joining David the rod, and being called the house of David. Being called the ensign. Okay, this verse has been previously explained in the connection with the 62nd chapter of Isaiah, page 155. The class mentioned here is the same in volume 5, page 82. The call to this great and solemn work was presented unto men of learning and position. Had these been a little in their own eyes and trusted fully in the Yeshua, he would have honored them with bearing his standard and the triumph unto the victory. But they separated from the Yahweh, yielded unto the influence of the world, and the Yahshua rejected them when he came in 2002 at the Kermit, Texas. He rejected them at the atonement. And as I said, technically, they were cut off in 1999, Gilead Center was, the leadership. But they had a 33.5-year period allotted for Gilead Center. And so they couldn't be cut off after 30 years. They had to go on at 3.5 years, but they didn't have Yahweh's blessings or direction or any inspiration to bring Gilead Center to a close. Number one, 2002 was not time for the Gilead Center to come to a close. 1970 was a time for the rod to come to a close because this 40-year period is up. Gilead Center also had an appointed 40 years, but their time wasn't up until 2010. Our time wasn't. I was there. I was the one that took over after 33.5 years with Rudolph Johnson, and I finished out the last 7.5 years of the Gilead Center. So that's another thing, that they were cut off before their time their time period was up. Just like King Saul, he was cut off. Samuel gave him the announcement before his 40-year period was up when he was king of Israel. Samuel told him he'd been rejected by Yahweh today. And that was long before his 40 years was up. But Saul wouldn't abdicate his throne. He just kept on anyway. Because he had a 40-year time period allotted to him from the beginning. No matter what he did in between, it didn't make any difference. It's just that Yahweh gives a person a time period and he lets them run it out. Okay, verse 16. That this is Isaiah 65, that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the Yahweh of the truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the Yahweh of the truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. And I can't tell you the joy that came over me when the Holy Spirit spoke to me that day on July the 14th when I was riding with Brothers and his wife down the highway. I was driving their car for them. And the Holy Spirit, they insisted on two different times that they wanted an opinion from me, and I told them I don't have no opinions on something like this, but I have a message from heaven. Now, when I said I had a message from heaven, the Spirit just came over me and just flooded my soul. I just felt the hairs raised on my body, my arms and everything. I was just so excited. I said, well, perfect city. And the ball is in my court, and I have the message from heaven. And when I give it to them, I just needed that they would accept it. I felt that they was wanting an answer from me, and when I finally gave them an answer, after the second time around trying to get an answer from me, when I finally came with an answer, I said, oh, I just got a message from heaven. Well, then everything went quiet. But I didn't just start talking to them. I let them know that I had just gotten a message from heaven. What I was about to tell them was not my opinion, that it was a message from heaven. So it says, bless himself in the Yahweh of the truth. Many people will bless themselves, but not in the Yahweh of the truth. That is, they obtain riches or some other blessing, but not by honesty. Some sweareth, but not by the Elohim of the truth. That is, they will tell a falsehood. But after Yahweh purifies his congregation, all these things shall pass away and be forgotten. As we continue to read on page 164, Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, verses of Isaiah 65, 17-19 speaks of the new earth. Verse 20 is here quoted from the Hebrew translation by Isaac Lesser. There shall be no more things than infinite of a few days, nor no man that shall not have the full length of his day. For as a lad shall one die 100 years old, and as a sinner shall be accursed he who dieth at 100 years old, it seems this translation makes the meaning of the verse just a little plainer than the King James. Well, inspiration makes all the difference in the world when you're quoting from the only valid source of the Holy Scriptures that we're required to use, and that's the King James. So this, for the Scripture speaks of the time at the end of the 1,000 years, millennium, after the resurrection of the wicked. At that time, there will not be any births for infants. There shall no more sense an infinite death. It said that there shall no more be sense an infinite death. For the lesson, therefore, is not so difficult for one to comprehend. All the wicked are called forth in the second resurrection, whether old or young, at the time of the death. All come up at the same time. This hour becomes the birth of all the wicked in the second life. There is to be no natural or unnatural death, for all must live to the time of the second death, which is by fire come down from Yahweh out of heaven and devoured them. Read Revelation 20, verse 7 to 10. And as a sinner shall be accursed he who dieth at 100 years old, this scripture predicts the span of life of the wicked after they are resurrected as being 100 years old. For as a lad shall one die 100 years old, and as a sinner shall be accursed he who dieth at 100 years old. During this 100-year period, the wicked made preparation for their attack on the holy city. Read Revelation 20, verse 8 and 9. Verse 21 to 25, Isaiah 65, speaks of the saints and the earth made new. Here is another evidence that the chapter is intended for the people at the time of the end. For the closing verse speaks of the earth made new. Okay. Well, the rest of this goes on then to Isaiah 66, how the end gathering from the Gentiles worship in the new earth. That's Isaiah 66. Let's go back to our original reading, Volume 2, The Shepherd Rod. We're on page 253. And let's pick up a little bit where we left off from there. It says that The Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 164, making a total of 1,100 years. This proves that the 1,100 days derived by our multiplication are prophetic, a day for a year. Thus, the remaining typical days of the deluge, while the waters were on the decrease and the earth was clearing herself from the flood, must apply unto the final destruction of the wicked and of the purification of the earth by fire. Therefore, the typical number of days are literally applicable as the flood was and as follows. From the day the waters were abated until when the tops of the mountains appeared, there were 74 days and 90 more until they all cleared away, making a total of 164 days, in which time the wicked and their works are burned to ashes, Malachi 4:1. The remaining 56 days, while the earth was drying, apply to the time that the earth is cooling off, and as Noah went out from the ark, thus so the saints shall walk out from the holy city and possess the earth forever and ever, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given as the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter, Daniel 7:27-28. It is certain that nothing could fit so perfectly by the accident, but think of such marvelous foresight and devising a wonder of this kind, which could reveal by a living picture the future for the thousands of years, and not such evidences as these, a token of love divine toward the fallen being. Gratitude swells from our hearts, words fail us. We can only exclaim with the psalmist, Thy word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgment. Psalms 119:105-106. It is not only wonderful to invent a lamp throwing out a light of such amazing candle power, but it is also astonishing how our Elohim can conceal his marvel from the eyes of the wise and prudent men. Then in his own time, he sits up on the high hills by which he is able to light the pathway of the searcher for the truth, and by its glaring power blindfold the sight of the wicked. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. Hosea 4:14. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Psalm 97:11. Yahweh could have spoken unto us direct by the prophets as in the times past, but it would have been impossible to transmit as much light to one generation. Neither could we comprehend its meaning as we can by these examples of symbol. also knowing of the great deception, unbelief, and doubts of the high-minded men that were to arise, he has placed his marvels in the Bible to expose error and reveal truth, thus overthrowing the enemy of the mankind. Also having the hypocrites, also leaving the hypocrites and the unbelievers without excuse. As every living thing perished in the time of the flood that was outside the ark, just so in the dark millennium, every living thing shall return to the dust, except the devil and his angels. Though men are teaching the millennium of peace, their doctrine shall come to naught, and they shall lie down in sorrow, except they repent. All Yahweh commanded Noah with his family, beasts, fowls, and creeping things to enter in the ark on the preparation day, Friday. And the selfsame day entered Noah, as Yahweh had commanded him, and the Yahweh shut him in. As the Sabbath drew on, being the 10th day of the second month, Genesis 7:13-16, so 7 days later, or at the beginning of the following Sabbath, being the 17th day of the month, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And it rained upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. The rain ceased on the 27th day of the third month. And the 4th day of the week, Wednesday at sunset, there is a remarkable coincidence between the flood and the Passover week. Also in connection with the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Yahshua. Therefore, the divine providence is worthy of our earnest consideration, for the Israelites were commanded to take the Passover lamb apart from the flock on the 10th day of the first month, and were to kill it on the 14th day of the same month at even, Exodus 12:3-6. As Yahshua was crucified, buried, and resurrected within the Passover week, the weekly cycle and the monthly calendar coincides as follows. The 10th day in which the lamb was to be taken from the flock fell on the 7th day Sabbath that year, which coincided with the day of the week and the month of the Noah's first day of confinement in the ark. In the end of the 14th day of the month, after Yahshua had observed the feast of the Passover lamb, he was taken before the priest, died on Friday, the 16th day of the month, was buried at the commencement of the 17th Sabbath, which coincides with the commencement of the flood, and was resurrected on this 18th Sunday. As he ascended on high 40 days afterwards, it fell on Thursday, the 27th day of the second month, being the same day of the week as that which followed the 40 days of the rain. Our previous explanation showed that the day following the 40 days of rain depicted in type the end of the world, being followed with the departure of the saints from the earth. You may not presume that the Yahweh had brought about these coincidences without an object in view, as the ceasing of the rain is a time type of the end of this world, so the ascension of the Yahshua with those who were resurrected with him is a type of the ascension of the saints at the coming of the Yahshua. It also reveals that his coming would be on Wednesday, and the train of glory shall depart for the heaven of heavens on a Thursday. Again, we are told that it would take the saints 7 days to ascend unto the throne of Yahweh, and that we shall rest the Sabbath on one of the planets while on the way. From this it is evident that Yahshua shall come in the middle of the week. So again, we find one thing proves another. Such close calculations of the schedule of the events that are soon to transpire make it evident that the end of all things is at hand, otherwise the information would not as yet have been submitted. The light being transmitted by the marvels of the typical events is a clear manifestation that there is a type for every incident of the vital interest for the church of the Yahweh, which are that are only positive proofs and clear explanations of the divine providences. As there is no type for that which is false, teachers of theories without a typical representation for their claims of the so-called Bible truths, and those who believe in them are as the blind leading the blind. For the types are worked out to expose the error and reveal the truth. For the honest ones were shown the devil by the embracing of the facts and by the walking in the light. For the Passover lamb, being separated from the flock on the 10th day, coincides with the separation of the righteous from the wicked in the antediluvian world. So remember, on the 10th day, Noah and his eight members of the family all together, Noah and his family, went into the ark on the 10th day of the second month, which was on a Sabbath day. The day of Yahshua's burial coincides with the day of the commencement of the flood. Also with the commencement of the plagues and his ascension, with the day after the rain ceased, also with the end of the world, and the translation of the saints. These coincidences are perfect with the day of the week and of the month. But the one is a month earlier in the season than the other. The Passover being in the first month and the flood in the second, it has been explained that the Passover is a type of the close of the probation for the church. See pages 216 and 218. And the closing of the ark, a type of the closing of the probation for the world. Therefore, there are 30 typical days between one close of the probation and the other. If we were given light on how to decipher these typical 30 days, it seems it would reveal the exact number of years from the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9, Passover, which was 2002, to the final close of probation. So, a day for a year, 30 years from 2002, and as I said before, and I prophesied before, actually it would be 2003, because that was the year that I invited Brother Johnson, ironically, to take part in the Passover of 2003, after he had already been cut off, committed the unpardonable sin, and everything, Yahweh still gave him an opportunity to see, given one last invitation that he wouldn't accept it, even though it was given to him. To the final close of probation, this fact perhaps will not be made known until after the work of the Gospel has closed. Well, that's because V.T. Hallett writing this in 1931. My goodness. exactly 100 years before this prophecy meets its fulfillment. Because you can look, according to his writing here, 2032-2033, and I have prophesied several years ago, quite a few years ago, well, back in around 2004-5, that we would go to the year of 2033. And I guess I got that information from 2003, yeah. From 2003, the time that we left Kermit. Okay. For a brief summary of the flood in type and anatype, we draw the reader's attention unto the chart on page 250. For the significance of the first and the second month, for the closing work for the church is signified by the first month and the harvest for the world by the second month. As one truth reveals another, our attention is turned to Joel 2:23-29. Be glad then, you children of the Zion, and rejoice in the Yahweh your Elohim, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see vision, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days that I pour out my spirit. Note that the rain comes first, and the pouring out of the spirit afterwards. Therefore, the rain is one thing, and the pouring out of the Spirit is another. By the rain is represented great light on the Word of Yahweh, that is to ripen the harvest and lighten the world with His glory, the angel of Revelation 18:1. The pouring out of the Spirit is the power that is to descend upon Elohim's servant to carry on the work represented by the former and latter rain. And upon all the flesh is the spirit that is to convince the honest in heart of the truth and bring them into the church of which the Pentecost was a type. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with the wine and oil. Represents a great harvest of the soul that shall be garnered in by the result of the rain and the Spirit, Joel 2:24. For the rain falls in the first month, that is the month by which the closing work for the church is represented, the sealing time of the 144,000. Therefore, in that period of the time, before Ezekiel 9, a great light is to be revealed. It is remarkable to note the perfect grammatical order of the words at the time of their application, clearly dividing the word of the truth as though it were written just at the time the prophetic words are revealed. For he hath given you the former rain moderately is the light of the truth that is characterized by the former rain, which must have fallen previous to the time of the latter rain. Therefore, the former rain is none other than the writings of the spirit of the prophecy. That would be Ellen G. White's writings, as V.T. Hobson didn't say that here, but that is all it can be, according to V.T. Hobson. Further proof of this will be given in another chapter. But note that the falling of the former rain is repeated with the latter rain. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Only those that have a creation calendar, though, they are keeping all of the holy days during the year, the annual feast days, we can only know about the first month, because that's when you have your Passover, in the first month. Therefore, the former rain, spirit of prophecy, falls the second time, revealed more fully in the time of the latter rain, the first time independent of the latter rain, and the second time associated with the latter in the first month, preceding Ezekiel 9. This is preceding Ezekiel 9. The meaning is the truth recorded in the writings of the spirit of prophecy was not fully understood until the time of the latter rain. Thus the former rain comes again with the latter rain, and this is what brings about the loud cry. Okay, so now I've said before that Ezekiel 9 started the Passover of 2002, and according to V.T. Hotifer, he says, the former and the latter rain as far as the first month preceding Ezekiel 9. Well, the former and latter rain fell at the Passover 2002, but Ezekiel 9 did not start then. Ezekiel 9 would have to wait till the next year. After Brother Johnson got his last invitation to come into the ark, to join me into the ark of safety. And when he refused that last invitation, well then, that's when Ezekiel 9 then would start going through the Adventist church. Ezekiel 9 had already gone through Gilead Center though. Otherwise, Brother Johnson couldn't have been cut off in 2003. So, yeah, Ezekiel 9 did start at the outpouring of the former latter rain at the Passover, only for Gilead Center. But then after Gilead Center, 1 year time, probation was up from 2002 to 2003. Then Ezekiel 9 continued on through the city, through the Adventist church. The meaning is, the truth recorded in the writings of the spirit of the prophecy was not fully understood until the time of the latter rain. Thus the former rain comes again with the latter rain, and this is what brings about the loud cry. Okay. And so, what you're getting right today, those that hear this message, getting the former and the latter rain of the truth. Because when the loud cry starts, it will be a loud cry to the world by the 144,000. The house of David is only going to give the message as a loud voice to the Adventist church until the 144,000 comes forth out of the Adventist church and then joins the house of David. And then after the antipical Pentecost, when we have a full outpouring of the Holy Spirit again, as we did on the day of the Pentecost 2,000 years ago, then they will give us the power and ability then to go and harvest all the Gentile nations all around the world. Cain and Abel. Another remarkable fact, as it appears on the chart, is the crime committed by the Cain and the slain of his brother Abel. These are being the first two brothers and the first quarrel over religion, also the first murder in the human family, it certainly must hold out a lesson of the great importance. According to the law of the Bible, the priesthood was to be made up from the firstborn of every family. Thus, by the rights of the law, Cain was the priest. The Yahweh himself stated this fact as he spoke unto Cain, saying, and unto thee shall be his desire, thou shalt rule over him, Genesis 4:7. Therefore these two men represent two classes of people. Since this first cannot be denied, Cain must represent a class of leadership, parentheses, the priest, and Abel, the true church membership, It was Cain who rebelled against Yahweh by presenting a false sacrifice, and because Abel obeyed and worshipped in the manner prescribed by the Creator, he incurred the displeasure of his elder brother. If the statement that Cain and Abel represents two classes of people is correct, then the same must be proven by the historical facts, for we state that the Cain who typified the leadership persecuted him who typifies the true membership. Thus, every section of the Elohim's congregation has apostatized through the unconsecrated leadership and every message that called for the Reformation was likewise by them thrown out of the church and their blindness. They were determined to keep the people ignorant of the truth. And thus, they persecuted the messengers and those who embraced the message and obeyed the truth. Therefore, necessity called forth one movement after another. Now, you know why we have to have one movement after another one? Because each movement will come to persecution upon their members. At the end of their movement, they, instead of coming into glory and have a triumphant, purified church, they fall away and start persecuting and eating and drinking with the drunkard and smiting their fellow servants. How fearful. That's in Isaiah. That's in Matthew 24:42-47. How fearful the thought for those who bear their great responsibility, and how dangerous to the class who permit others to think and act for them. The class that accepts the decision of others, whether for or against the truth, are deceived and robbed of the eternal life, for they can have no experience of their own, no true conversion, no change of heart. My brethren, these words are not against you, for it is Elihan speaking through his word of the truth to save you from the bottomless pit. Will you not let him work for you and for his people? Will you not be his sheep? That ends that chapter on the flood of tide, Shepherd Rod Volume 2. Let's go now to Shepherd Rod Volume 1 and finish this sermon with page 150, dealing with a Redeemer promise to a penitent people. Isaiah 59. Verse 2 to 8 tells how terrible and grievous our sins are in the Yahweh's sight. The first verse contains the wonderful promise, "Behold, the Yahshua's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." If we would repent of our sins and turn unto him with fasting and prayer, he will have mercy upon us and will hear our prayers. Though our sins are unspeakably great, verse 9 to 13 are of a good report, some of the people are conscious in repenting from their sin. In Isaiah 16:19 is a prophecy to speak of. It applies unto those upon whom the responsibility rested to bring about the Reformation by presenting the lessons to the church in their true light, calling every sin by its right name instead of applying it unto other people and times, and thereby diverting the instructions intended for Gilead Center, as in my case, that I was associated with the term of Texas from 1970 to 2003, because that's exactly what they did the whole 33 years that I was there. That's the way they conducted their services. Always pointing their finger at the Adventist Church. The Adventist Church was always a culprit, and in truth, they deserved it, all right enough. But not realizing that the Gilead Center was very much a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Isaiah 59:16-18. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with the zeal as a cloak, according unto their deeds. Accordingly, he will repay fury unto his adversaries. Okay, it says, recompense unto his enemies, unto the islands, he will repay recompense. Yahweh clothes himself, this is Yahshua, Yahshua clothes himself with his own attributes and advances to set things right. Had there been a man, Yahshua would have let the man do the work. But as here in verse 9, he does it himself. That's exactly what happened at Kermit. He had a man for 33 years, but because he was not a righteous, purified individual, which he had every chance to become righteous and purified, and by being clothed with our own house in heaven, having restored the full sanctuary system, that's enough to lead one into full righteousness and sanctification right there, just practicing the statutes and judgments of the sanctuary system. This reveals one of Yahweh's working principles. He will use one man or a nation to help correct or punish another. When that cannot be done, Yahweh steps in. While Yahweh will come with the vengeance to some, he comes with salvation to others. Verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. This is not referring to the second coming of Yahshua in the clouds, for it takes place before the probation closes. He is not coming with the vengeance unto the unrighteous in the world, but coming to the church. And when he comes, he will do the work mentioned in Malachi 3, 1 to 3. Okay, it says, verse 19 of Isaiah 59. So shall they fear the name of the Yahshua from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. That's from the east, from the west to the east. For the Yahshua will make this coming as an example unto the nation, just as he did with the Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 19, last part. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Yeshua shall lift up a standard against him. John in Revelation 12:15 refers unto this incident. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. For the woman here mentioned is the Yahweh's congregation of the Seventh-day Adventists, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua Messiah. Well, the Seventh-day Adventists did not keep the commandments, and they didn't have the testimony of Yahshua Messiah. I can prove that. That the Seventh-day Adventists and the Shepherd Rod did not keep the commandments of Yahweh, and they did not have the testimony of Yahshua Messiah. They did not have it. B.T. Hollis had inspiration to interpret the prophecies, but because he stood up and said, well, he was given the law of Moses to restore in 1930. And he said, well, no, well, we'll let's keep our feast for getting to the land. So he rejected the keeping of the commandments of the sanctuary fully. Only the Sabbath is all the Rod ended up teaching and keeping fully was the 7 day Sabbath. That was not enough when we come into the Rod period. Even Ben Roden recognized that in 1960. He says, Peter Hollis said the branch is the next great movement on the horizon, and so he says, I'm going to start the branch right now and restore the law of Moses and keep these feast days. And he did. He didn't keep them at the right time, but he sure made an attempt to restore all the feast days and keep them, because he read enough to know that would bring your righteousness fully. Okay, but Roland Johnson was given it to restore completely at the right time with the right creation calendar instrument, and yet it didn't do him any good because he wasn't born again of the Spirit to begin with, and besides he wasn't preordained for that to begin with. But he was given the privilege and opportunity, just like Cain was, the firstborn of Adam and Eve. The priesthood was given that opportunity because Roland Johnson was a firstborn. Ben Roden was a firstborn. B.T. Hardiff was a firstborn. This brings you close our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Wonderful Words of Life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful Words of Life. Let me more of the beauty see. Wonderful Words of Life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. That's what the Blessed One gives to all. Wonderful words of love. Sinner lifted a loving tone. Wonderful words of love. Oh, so freely given. Driving us to heaven. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of love. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of love. Sweetly echo the gospel call. Wonderful words of love. Offer pardon and peace to all. Wonderful words of love. Thus your only Savior. Sanctify forever. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of love. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of love.